Okay, just a couple quick comments on the last two picks. Chad Jackson was a guy we were considering in the first round, and obviously went with Maroney. But as we got into the second round, we were able to move up with the trade of Green Bay and take Chad. We spent a lot of time with him, both in Florida. He came up here, different coaches saw him and so forth. But I think that he's got some good skills that we're looking forward to working with, and comes from a good passing system that Coach Meyer has down there at Florida, and we're familiar with that. So I think he's got some good things to work with. And Dave Thomas is a kid that was very productive for Texas. Obviously comes from a real good program, national championship team. He's very well thought of down there and all the aspects of his game, but he's been productive as a receiver and a blocker and in the kicking game, so we hope that he can give us value on all four downs there as well. So being primarily a two tight end team, we certainly need to carry more than that on our roster. So that's where we're at. We'll deal with tomorrow. So
Chad said that you guys gave him a piece of the playbook in Gainesville, and then he came up and was basically quizzed on it. You guys were the only team that did that to him, he said. How did he do in those types of tests and just mentally being able to pick up some of the stuff you threw at him?
Oh, good. I think he has a good background in the passing game, understands concepts, and we do that with a lot of players. Talk to them about some, and then try to bring it back up at a later point in time, whether it be at the combine or then a spring workout or whatever the case is, and see what kind of recall and kind of how they learn some basic information like that. And he did a good job with it.
Can you take us through how the move up came? Was there a point at which, you said, okay, he's still sitting there?
I think that we kind of looked at the draft charts and felt like, we were sitting there with 2 third and 2 fourth round picks, and we were at, I guess it was 52. And so we talked to some teams, and I don't know, would it end up being 38? 36, okay. So we talked to some teams in that range, 36. And then 37, 38, what, Denver was 37, right? We kind of thought that that was might be a guy they were interested in, and we thought they were interested in a receiver. They ended up making the trade there for Walker, but that was so we want to try to see if we can get up ahead of those teams. Oakland's another team that's historically taken big fast receivers, so we talked to those teams and ended up working out with Green Bay.
Interesting statistically that he had that 10-yard per catch average this year. He had 22 wide as a sophomore with fewer catches. Was that a byproduct of the new offense going in where he was running shorter routes?
Yeah, well, they Florida runs basically a spread offense, what they ran at Utah, and he played primarily as slot receiver. He was occasionally outside this year in some two receiver sets, but they didn't do that a whole lot. Most of it was four wide receiver sets where he was the inside guy. There were a lot of read routes, option routes, those kind of things. So his yards per catch were, naturally lower. On the other hand, though, I thought he did a good job of catching the ball in traffic, taking hits and those type of things that you don't see as much of as an outside receiver. They also ran him on like reverses, shuffle passes, options, things like that. So he, I don't know how many carries he had, but he had a decent number. How many? Yeah. So he had a decent number of carries as well as catches, and but that was kind of his role, in the offense. So the year before, when they ran more of a conventional two receiver set, and he was the outside guy, then it was, more downfield routes. So I think he's shown some versatility.
Phil, you mentioned that you had him under consideration for the first round. What made Maroney the edge for you to pick him?
I thought he was a better pick for our team.
What you might have thought would be available later.
I think it had more to do with what we thought was the best thing to do at that time. Although, I don't think we thought that Maroney would be there much after we picked if we didn't pick him, but that's not really the main reason for picking him. We picked him because we thought he was a good player.
Overall, Coach, when you generally speaking, I take Reggie Bush off the board and you get the running back that you had rated as high as anybody else or higher than everybody else available. And sounds like Chad Jackson was the same with you at receiver. You get him to the second round, you have to be pleased that you can get guys that you have rated that high.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I thought you know, Scott really handled the whole trade scenario, you know, with Green Bay. I thought he did a real good job of, you know, being able to kind of get that worked out. It really was kind of a last second thing where we just barely got the pick in before, you know, before the time expired. But, you know, we were able to maneuver in the draft and you know, get three players we feel good about. You know, I mean, there's a lot of other players up there that are good players that certainly we have a lot of respect and had a lot of interest in, but you know, we feel good about the ones that we got.
Was the intention to come out of the first day with this much offense?
The intention was to come out of it with three good football players. So, you know, we can't, I don't think you can be too picky about, you know, when you're drafting best value players, it's hard to be picky about position. You know, if you're drafting need in positions, then you know, sometimes give up some value, try to balance those out. But no, we try to get players that we think could help our football team, and that's why we picked them.
You guys took like a pretty strong look at Jackson. Was part of that because maybe it's hard to project out of Urban Meyer's offense because it is a little different than anything you'd see in the pros, and kind of project guys into the pros out of that offense?
No, I think it's actually a lot easier to project them out of that offense than a lot of other ones, you know, that just run play action pass go routes and tear screens all the time, which is what a lot of them do. No, I mean, they have a, you know, spread offense. They read coverages. They run routes based on coverages or the technique of the defender. You know, they have multiple formations and blitz adjustments and all those kind of things that are common in the National Football League. So I think he's got a good passing offense. I think kids that come out of that offense have a good understanding of passing concepts, and some of them are the same concepts or very similar to what we do, and then there's some differences, but I would say that he's, you know, he just played an inside position this year, and he played more of an outside position last year. He played outside this year in the two receiver sets, but in the multiple receiver sets they moved him inside. So, you know, and
is he as astute as Deion Branch was coming out of Louisville in terms of understanding concepts?
I think Deion came at a pretty high level. I think that'd be pretty unusual to find anybody at that level. That was pretty, you know, I'd say that was exceptional.
Eight picks heading into tomorrow. Probably not going to be able to fit eight guys.
Seven, over. Right? Yeah. I thought we might have traded for another one there, Tom. Okay.
Is there still a significant number of players who you see fitting your system and having value to you? And B, are there eight of them? Seven?
Well, I don't know because it's, you know, hard to tell how they're going to come off. You know, it's two of the picks, you know, are compensatory picks, so they're not tradable. You know, we're going to have to stay there and pick whoever's there. The other ones, we may move up, move down. We've traded them into next year. You know, some teams are shopping players for those picks. So, you know, I don't really know. We'll kind of, that's what we'll do tonight is try to, you know, kind of restack the board, take a look at what's, you know, what's left here after, you know, I don't know, 97 picks or however many it was today, and you know, reevaluate our options. You know, usually when you have picks in the fourth round, multiple picks like we do tomorrow, that there's a lot of interest in those picks league-wide. So, but that may or may not be the case, but I think that's something we need to be ready for, too, that, you know, that there may be some movement on those picks tomorrow, but. Again, right now the best thing we can do is try to do our homework and, you know, make sure we understand what's up there, what the value is, what are, you know, what teams are interested in possibly, you know, trying to acquire those picks, or if we want to move up, which teams might consider, you know, taking our multiple picks and moving them to a higher spot if that's what we decide to do, and just kind of get ready to go for tomorrow. So we're not at that point yet, but that's what we're working toward.
Real picks, it is quite likely that when you redo your board, you could get the one guy you have rated as the best available right now, in a sense.
I'd say that's fairly common in the fourth round, you know, although there's usually in the first 10 picks of the fourth round, there's probably five or six guys that probably pretty much everybody has. You know, there's a little bit of a, you know, sometimes a feeding frenzy for those few guys. But, you know, I think you got a pretty good chance. You got a better chance in the fourth round of getting the guy you want than, you know, if you're sitting there in the middle of the first round, that's for sure. So, you know, teams that have, again, have filled needs or drafted players in certain position, that knocks them out of, and doesn't maybe knock them out, but it makes it less likely that they would take players in that, you know, in that spot, and they'd fill some other need or, you know. Again, at this point, a lot of these players are more, you know, I don't want to generalize, but some of them are more role players or more specific players that fit in certain systems, you know, and as opposed to some of the guys in the first couple rounds. So they're much more team specific than guys who are, you know, taken high that, you know, probably could have a role in, you know, quite a few systems because of their, you know, the extent of their skills. So I'd say it's, you know, fairly likely you could get a guy that you kind of like on the board. But again, liking him on the board at this point and liking him on the board, you know, at 11 this morning is a little different story.
On Maroney, just looking at all the different things that he's listed at, it seems like I see one thing he's listed at 5'10". I saw one he's listed over 6 feet. Saw one 2'10". Saw one 2'20". Saw one time at a high 4'3", then one at 4'5". Was it? Can you nail down what he is for us? how big he is?
And hit me in here Monday, Mike. You can take a look at him for yourself. And he's got those dreadlocks. I don't know. Maybe they were pressed down. Maybe they weren't. Maybe he was on a diet. You know, I don't know. He's probably shade under 6 feet, around 215, 220. I don't know. He's not 6'2". He's not 5'8". He's not 235. He's not 190. So I don't know. But take a look at him for yourself on Monday, okay? All right. Thanks.
See you tomorrow.